I decided to continue John, the study of John during regular service, and I decided to do something else during Sunday school. And the reason I decided to do this during Sunday school because some of the stuff I'm reading here, I don't know if it's really appropriate for young ears in a way, okay? And so, but it's in the Bible. And so I just wanted to study this about Balaam the prophet. You know, before we start, was Balaam, I had three little questions here. Was Balaam a prophet of God? Or was he not a prophet of God? Or, I don't know. I was kind of in that I don't know thing. But you know what? After studying this, do not believe he was a prophet of God at all. At all. But anyway, and I'll show you as we read it. I saw that Shasta's teaching on the golden calf. And, you know, remember when Israel worshipped the golden calf, when Moses came down and saw him, he saw some atrocious things being done probably. You know, they were having a big-time party. And what was all that involved? Well, I don't know. Probably more than we want to know. But anyway. So I want to go read Leviticus chapter 18. You might ask why you want to read this first. Well, I want to kind of bring out a few things in here. Leviticus chapter 18. And I'm not sure I can read all this chapter for time's sake. I don't know if I can even, I want to try to finish this because I don't want it to go on. I'm going to try to fly as fast as I can. And we're going to do a lot of reading. But Leviticus chapter 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, in other words, in the future, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. So they had, like, ordinances that they did things. Okay? Anyway, he goes on in verse 4, you shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him and uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, this has the idea of marriage. And okay, in other words, you don't marry a near kin. And so I'm going to skip some of this, but if you read down for verses 8 through all the way to probably 20, or 20 is actually adultery. But anyway, it talks about regulations and all this stuff. You know, you don't marry your cousin and all this kind of stuff and near kin. And in fact, in verse 16, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. And, of course, this is the idea of marrying your brother's wife. But there was an exception to that, okay? And that's in Deuteronomy 25:5. Now, I did a lot of research on all this, okay? And that was for reasons of the nation, to preserve the nation and preserve that brother's offspring. But normally that is not, in other words, we wouldn't do that sort of thing, okay? And so these are all kind of regulations on marriage and everything. But it gets down to verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Notice you defile yourself. So this is speaking of adultery. And you know that in the New Testament, Paul talked about a man that commits fornication or adultery is sinning against his own body. Okay, and it talks about that, you know. But I'm not going to get into that part yet. And thou shalt not let thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now, Molech was a false deity, wasn't he? And so the idea was to pass thy seed to Molech. Remember, they offered their children or whatever, and they would... You know, abortion ain't much different, to tell you the truth. But anyway, it was a false deity, okay? Now, I thought it was interesting that he mentions that false deity and that pagan worship before he goes on to verse 22, or 22, okay? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, we know what that is, okay? That is homosexuality. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Now, this is Bible stuff. I'm sorry it's in here, you know. I mean, you would think, how can anybody do that stuff? Well, I read what the expositor said about all this. You know, one said, brute beasts don't do this. In other words, and they said, this brings man lower than the beast of the earth. And it shows the depravity of men, that they would do such things, okay? And so, and you know that in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, he said, this is against nature. Homosexuality is against nature. You know, the natural use of the woman. Remember that? That it's against nature. So, why were they doing such things? Okay, and you know, I said it is confusion. I think I looked up that word. I don't remember what it is now. But anyway, I got notes all over my Bible here. He said it's confusion. Okay, he says, look at 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. Now look at this. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. He didn't say some of these. All of these. So this was going on in Egypt, and it's going on in Canaan, and it's going on a lot of places. And you notice he mentioned that false deity before this all came into effect, okay? Now, so I did a lot of research, and I'm probably, let's read the rest of it. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. This is so detestable that the land throws up. I mean, that's what that is. Spews it out. It's a throw up. This is throw up stuff. That's what it is, okay? Her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, all of them, which were before you, and the land is defiled. The land, in other words, he's going to bring them to Canaan. The land is before you. They're doing all this stuff. They're doing all this stuff there. Why? Why?
Isn't it just giving them a warning?
They've already, right, they're doing it. They're already doing it. Now, and I did some research on this, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but in pagan worship, these deities, this kind of stuff was done. Okay? And you can go research it yourself. But these pagan gods, some of them were animals that looked like animals and all that, and it was orgies and defiling themselves to these pagan gods. And so I read what Gil and all these said. They were doing this stuff in Egypt because of the pagan gods, and they were doing this stuff in the land of Moab where the pagan gods were, and they were doing this in the land of Canaan where all these pagan gods were. He says here they do all this. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also. You start doing this, land's going to spew you out. Okay? When you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you, because of what I just read. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs. Customs. That's interesting, huh? So it wasn't something like, you know, some guy flipped out on us. Customs. It was their customs to do this. Why? It's all in the pagan worship stuff. You can research it yourself. There's some of this stuff I can't even mention here. It's so disgusting. Okay. Anyway, so he says here, abominable customs which were committed before you, that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. And he went on, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, are holy. You're supposed to be separate, not like these people. And there's stuff going on in this nation right now. It's bad. That's all I can tell you. It's bad, you know. I saw where, notice he said, turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. So he said, don't turn to idols. So the idols have something to do with this, I think. I really do. Now turn to Numbers. And I'm kind of doing this off by the seat of my pants here. Even though I read a lot and studied a lot on it, I didn't put it together in some kind of organized format. Numbers chapter 22 is where I want to start. I head down here to read chapter 22. There's no way to read all this. We'd never finish. Okay, but you can go read it in your own time. Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, and go all the way through, say, chapter 25, verse 9. Okay, that's a lot to read, but here it is. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. Now the Midianites, from what I read, the Midianites and the Moab were kind of like not a confederacy, but they were together. In other words, they were separate, but they were together. Kind of like two nations, really one nation, but they were confederate together. Friends. They were companions, so to speak. Now, I think later on that might not have been the case, but right at this time they were. That's why the king of Moab, and Moab, which he was the king, said unto the elders of Midian. Okay, so he's telling them that. He sent messengers. Okay, what did it say? Okay. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, that is, Balaam's people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Now, that land where he was at, from what I read, was the west bank of the Euphrates. In fact, you can see that, I think I had down here, chapter 23, verse 7, maybe. What is it? Let's see. And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me Jacob and come defy Israel. So he's not from Israel, or he's from over there, probably where Babylon's at, somewhere in there, okay? So what kind of prophet is he, anyhow? Okay, anyway, he says, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Verse 6. So the king wants Balaam to come and curse Israel. Well, what kind of people do put curses on people? Huh? Witchcraft, exactly. Witchcraft, soothsayers. That's what he is, okay? And I'll prove it to you, because the Bible says he is, okay? But even though the Lord spoke to him, he's not a prophet of God. You know, the Lord just decided to speak to him probably because he don't want him cursing Israel. Okay, as we'll see. And I'm going to try to go through this and probably not read all of it. Anyway, he says, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Preadventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that we may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom thou cursest is cursed." You put a curse on them, they curse, buddy. So that's the kind of guy he was. Now listen, look at verse 7. "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination." He's a diviner. He's a soothsayer. So he's a fortune teller. And he can put curses on people. And they come in with the rewards of divination, so he'll put a curse on Israel. That's what this is all about. Okay? And believe me, he really wants that reward. Okay? But he can't do it in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak and told him all this. And he said, "Get out of here?" "No." And he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab bode with Balaam. Okay? And God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak, the son of Zophar, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Preadventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." So God's telling him, he ain't cursing them. He ain't going to let him curse them. He might be a soothsayer and a diviner and all that stuff, but God ain't going to let him curse them. He spoke to him. And Balaam rose up the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come unto us." And Balak sent yet again the princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came unto Balaam and said unto him, "Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor." Oh, that must have tempted him. "And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." Well, why didn't Balaam say, "Get out of here"? And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his whole house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord by God to bless or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." Maybe he'll change his mind. Huh? Yeah, I'm going to go to him again. Maybe he'll change his mind. I'll get that money. Okay. And God came unto Balaam that night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them." Now, I think this is kind of a sarcastic thing. Well, if you're so determined to go with them, go ahead and go. You know, because you'll see as we read, God's angry that he went. Now go with them. "But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do." Notice this. Now he says, "If the men come to call thee, rise up." But look at verse 21. "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes." He didn't even wait for them to call, from what I read. He's ready to go. He's eager to go. Okay? He's eager to go. And God's anger was kindled because he went. He just told him to go. But see, he said, you know, you want that? Go ahead and take it. You know what? You want a king? Go ahead. I'll give you a king. That's a good example. You who are us Christians, you want something so bad, and you desire, oh God, well, you know, he might just give it to you and just ruin your life. Yeah. Just a thought there. Anyway, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, probably Jesus Christ. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards for the alarm. A wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went farther and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And look, here, you know this part of the verse, scripture, don't you? This is where the ass speaks to Balaam, right? And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto him, that must have spooked him. Well, I don't know. He's a soothsayer and a diviner. Probably nothing spooks him because he is a spook. Okay. Anyway, and Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord, that's almost hilarious, isn't it? Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Now you would think at this point Balaam would just have a change of heart and repent. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." Perverse before me. Thy way is perverse, Balaam. Thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. I'd have killed you and saved her. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned." Yeah, he's really repenting. Because his heart doesn't change, I promise you, as we'll see. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, and for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." Sounds like he's kind of repentant, doesn't he? And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto the city of Moab, which is at the border of Arnon, which is in the othermost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore comest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? I can give you whatever you want. I can make you top dog. Okay, I'll promote you to honor." And Balaam said unto Balak, "Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak." He sounds like, man, he's kind of pretty good, right? And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him unto the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people, Israel, that is, okay. And this is Baal Peor, probably. And Balaam said unto Balak, "Build." Now listen to this. And Balaam said unto Balak, why is he telling him to do this? And Balaam said unto Balak, "Build me here seven altars, and prepare me seven oxen and seven rams." You know, there was only one altar in the Old Testament, not seven altars. and it might, I think there's a place where it talked about seven offerings, but it's always one offering. We have one altar, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, he said seven altars. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. So he's going further with this thing, isn't he? And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Preadventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place, another high place. Now, the Lord's already told him he's going to bless Israel. Why does he keep inquiring? Why does he keep inquiring about this? Because he wants that reward. Anyway, and God met Balaam and said unto him, I have preadventure seven altars and have offered you upon, I'm sorry, not you, offered upon every, because they had a place of Baal in here, offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned to him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab had brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? He got some truth here, doesn't he? He has some truth. Kind of like false prophets. They have a lot of truth. Okay? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him, and lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of the Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place. Let's go to another place. From whence thou mayest see them, thou shalt see but the uttermost part of them, and shalt not see all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him unto the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here. And he said unto Balak, stand here by the burnt offering while I go meet the Lord yonder. Maybe he changed his mind. I guess. I don't know what he's thinking. You know? And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he come to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offerings and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? Man, how many times has he got to tell you this? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now notice this. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. That's kind of a key here, I think. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Gosh darn, man, if we could get a little iniquity in Jacob and a little perverseness in Israel, maybe things might change. Anyway, just a thought. The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of the Egypt, and he hath, as it were, the strength of the unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment. He uses enchantments. He's a soothsayer against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel according to this time. It shall be said, and Jacob and Israel, what God hath wrought. Now I have somewhere in here. I'm doing this helter skelter or whatever. I'm just doing it. I think it's Jeremiah. Joshua. Joshua. Is it Joshua? Chapter 13, I think. Let me go see if that's right. Joshua chapter 13. Verse 22. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer. He says, Joshua says he's a soothsayer. And what does the Bible say about soothsayers? Not anything good. Go read Deuteronomy chapter. I got it somewhere in my notes here too. But anyway, Balaam also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay when the sword among them that were slain by them. And that, this is when they slew the Midianites. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself again, but when Balaam does what he does, okay, I think he's going back, from what I read, he's going back to the Midianites to collect that reward. And he got a reward, all right. He got God's reward, okay. But he was looking for a reward. And I know that for a fact, because you... Now, again, let me read to you Revelation, okay, 2:14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now notice this. Who taught Balak. He taught Balak. What did he teach Balak? To cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. See, he came up with a plan. I can't curse him. But I tell you what, I know how we can get him. Is what he's really. And I'm getting ahead of myself. You send the Midianite women in there, okay? Attract them, and they're gonna bring them to this feast of Baal Peor, and they're gonna commit fornication there. And I'm gonna get into that a little bit, but essentially, that was an orgy. This wasn't men going out and taking wives of the Midianites and maybe something like that. They went, 24,000 of them got wiped out because of this. So 24,000 of them went and worshiped this false god, Baal Peor, and they fornicated there at that time. And probably no telling what goes on there. Okay. So, no one, God spewed them out. Okay, and I'm getting way ahead, but anyway, let's read some more, okay? He says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said, Jacob is, whatever, God hath wrought. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink of the blood of the slain. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. No, don't curse them or bless them. And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh that I must do? And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Preadventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them. In other words, they're trying to offer up enough sacrifices they can get God to curse them. It's just nonsense in a way. I mean, you can tell he's a false prophet. He is a false prophet. He's a soothsayer. And Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor. Baal Peor. We're going to talk, it's in chapter 25, okay? Baal Peor. Okay, so he bore him to the top of Peor, which it was a mountain, okay, that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me. Now, Balaam said unto Balak, not Balak saying unto Balaam, I'm going to build seven. Balaam said, build me seven more altars. Really, Balaam? Come on. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven bullocks and seven rams. And Balaam did as Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments. Notice that, to seek for enchantments. But he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and man whose eyes are open hath he said. He has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling in a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, Israel, as the valleys are spread before thee, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees lying, whatever. Okay, let me, you can kind of skip all that. Let's get down to, I had some stuff highlighted there, but we're going to go on, okay. In verse 25 of that chapter, and Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. So he must have advised Balak on something here. Well, we read that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. He taught him. He taught him something. He taught him to lay a stumbling block in front of Israel. And what he can't do with enchantments and a curse, God will do it. Because of their sin. In other words, he's going to get them to fall into sin so bad that God will do what he couldn't do. You see what I'm getting at? And that's what Satan would like to do to us. He'd like to get us so deep in sin that God would take us out. You see what I'm saying? And look what's happening to our nation. This has been a nation blessed of God. God has blessed this nation. But you know what? Satan's going to get God to curse it. It's not that he's going to curse it because of some other nation. He's going to curse it because of our sins. This nation will be cursed because of this. The stuff that's going on. I really believe it. So evidently he did that. In fact, Numbers, I've got Numbers 31:16. For some reason I have that note there right here real quick. Numbers 31:16 says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespasses against the Lord in the matter of Peor. In the matter of Peor. That's what I'm talking about, okay? What is that? And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. So it was supposed to kill every one that had. Anyway, chapter 25, verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And if I looked up that word whoredom, and it really comes from a word meaning a male prostitute. Okay? In other words, the people began to commit whoredom. In fact, a whore is whoredom is, you know, male prostitute, but a whore is would be a female prostitute, but a temple prostitutes. So this has to do with temple prostitutes. Okay? Well, what's a temple prostitute? Well, that has to do with worshiping a pagan deity. You see? Yeah, that's right. And so they had priestesses and priests, and they had fornication going on. And this is how they worship these false gods. In a sensuality. Is what they did. And we read in Leviticus chapter 18 what they did. They did all these nations. You know, I was reading where, and this is kind of a side subject, I don't even know who this lady is. Beyonce? Y'all heard of her?
Yeah, Beyonce.
Beyonce, okay. Anyway, I was reading where somebody did an interview with her. She's got a stage name called Sasha or some different name. And the reason she has this different name, she said that when she gets on stage, she becomes a different person. She says, what I do on stage, I could not do otherwise. So Beyonce wouldn't dare what Sasha does on stage. She says, when I get on stage, something enters me. Demon possession. I'm telling you. So your kid, don't let your kids listen to this witch. She's a witch. She's nothing but a witch, really. And I saw a video that she did where she's dancing as lewd as you can get, and she's got all these men fallen at her, and they went back, and you could see it was like in a temple. Really? This is satanic. It's not. I'm just telling you it is, okay? Anyway, back to chapter 25. So, and they called the people under the listen, so, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, okay? Chapter 25, verse 1. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Okay? And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So what Balaam couldn't do, now we just read that he, back over there in Numbers chapter, what did he say? I forgot what exactly it said. Through the counsel. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespasses against the Lord in the matter of Peor. So here we are, matter of Peor. And so here we read in verse 3, and Israel joined. So Balaam has counseled Balak to do this. Okay. Send them Midianite best looking women in the world, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. And get those Israelites to come and worship at this pagan orgy. Okay. And commit fornication. Eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. Notice. I think it did say people sacrifice to God. Yeah. Anyway. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. That's a pretty serious thing, huh, that was going on. Must have been pretty serious. Must have been pretty disgusting. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came out. Now, so evidently they slew about, I think, from what I read, 1,000, because it says here 24,000 died. But over, you read over there and we got to go there too, because anyway, in the New Testament it says 23,000. So I think what happened was, Moses had 1,000 of them slain, and then 23,000 died of a plague. Okay. Anyway, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianish woman in the sight of Moses. He's pretty bold, ain't he? So he's bringing one of the Midianite women that involved in all this, and he's doing. You know, Moses, you know, you laid too many. Now, I'm just kind of paraphrasing. Moses, you put too much on us, you know. All this, you're too much of a burden. I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I don't know if that's what he said, but I'm just kind of thinking that in the back of my head. In the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle. He's bringing this Midianish woman that he is fornicating with in the sight of Moses and in front of the tabernacle of God. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he sees it all. Can be a demon. I don't think so either. I don't. You're right. And think about what some of these churches are doing and bringing in stuff that they're bringing in. And when Phinehas, the son of Elzor, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Well, he's just a meanie, ain't he? And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from among the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 died, okay? Now compare, because I'm going to run out of time, compare that to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if I have time, I'm going to read to you what some of the expositors. I didn't get this, you know, some kind of conspiracy theory off the internet. I went and read what Gill said, Matthew Henry said about all this stuff. This and what other people have said a long time ago. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because I don't believe half of what I read on the internet anyhow. Okay. Chapter 10, verse 3. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now look at this. Now, what happened to them doesn't apply to us today. That was then, but now is now. Okay, what God said back then in Leviticus about all that stuff, that don't apply to us today. Okay, it don't, right? I am being very sarcastic. Now, these things were our examples. What happened there is an example for us right now. When Paul wrote this, right? He says, now these things, 24,000 of them falling in the wilderness because of what they did. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, I was thinking about what that golden calf. Same thing.
Sounds a lot like Mardi Gras to me.
Yeah, okay, Mardi Gras, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff going on there. Neither, look at this. So he says, he mentions, let neither be ye idolaters. He mentions idolatry first, as some of them were, as it is written, the people were. Neither let us commit fornication. Well, that's what follows. Idolatry and then gross fornication. As some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. He's talking about this event back here. That what happened to them is an example for us that we in this dispensation don't need to be following this kind of junk. So these churches that are saying this stuff is okay, they're in the ditch. They're so far in the ditch, they're under the ditch. They've covered up with mud. They're so far in the ditch. You know, just my way of saying it. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So anyway, he says all that, okay? And I ran out of time almost. I really have. Where was I at? Numbers chapter 25. I wanted to get down to maybe verse 9. Anyway, it says, so the plague was stayed. Oh, yeah, I did. I read down through verse 9, didn't I? Sure did. Never mind, that's far enough. Okay. Now, I want to read to you just a couple of notes and we'll stop, okay? You can go look up some of this yourself. Just be prepared to be astonished anyway. Matthew Henry says, Israel's whoredoms did that which all Balaam's enchantments could not do. They set God against them. Now he was turned to be their enemy and fought against them. So Matthew Henry says, through this, Balaam was actually able to get happen to them what he couldn't do through enchantments. Okay, because he says it.
He counseled Balak to do this. It says it in Revelation. It says it in Numbers chapter 31. He counseled him to... It says it in Joshua that he was a soothsayer. He goes on to say that whoredom and idolatry went together. I'm just reading what Matthew Henry says. They first defiled and debauched their conscience by committing lewdness with the women, okay, and then were easily drawn in compliance to them and in contempt of the God of Israel to bow down to their idols. And they were more likely to do so if, as it was commonly supposed and seemed probable, by joining of them together, the uncleanness committed was part of the worship and service performed to Baal Peor. Matthew Henry said that. It's nothing, you know. When did he write this stuff? A long time ago. I'm going to keep on going a little bit. Whoredom. The word whoredom in Numbers 25 verse 1. To commit fornication by a harlot, play the harlot. It goes on to say, to be a cult prostitute. Cult prostitute. Okay. Baal Peor, definition, Lord of the gap. Lord of the opening. I don't even want to go there. Okay. He ain't talking about a holy ground either. Okay. Anyway. Deuteronomy 4:3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. Gill's comments on this. I'm going to have to, let me hurry. I'm going to have to skip over some of this. But he went on to say, the above idol had its name of Peor, either from the obscene actions done in the worship of it. Too filthy to be related. That's what Gill said. Now, Gill wrote this 1700, right? Whatever. Too, you can go research this stuff what these pagan deities were all about. It will make you want to throw up. Too filthy to be related, and which it thought, or referred to in Hosea 9:10, it seems to be priapus of the heathens. Now, don't even go look him up. Okay? Because you're going to, if you look him up, and anyway, I can't even go there. Okay? I want to read. I have some other notes here, but it's already 11 o'clock, so let me just do away with that. Look at already read to you Revelation 2:14. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 22 talks about some stuff there. Just out of time. I hate to just skip over some of this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1. I have one, the whole chapter, but we don't have time to read all that. They were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and add upon themselves swift destruction. Maybe I'm wrong. No, I am. And many... Is that the way I want to read? Yeah, I guess it is. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fiend words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, be reserved unto judgment. And you know what I think about that. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which I think has the exact same connection with all this, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanliness. Boy, it's funny he mentions that there, huh? And despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they are not, understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive of reward the unrighteousness, as they shall count pleasure in it to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves of their own devices while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. I don't think that's just spiritual adultery. Eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, being beguiling unstable souls and heart. They, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You got liberty. It's okay. They have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. Boy, we've been reading about him, huh? Following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's why he went and taught Israel how to do. He loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. And you can read the rest of that. Okay, there's one other scripture I want to read, and because I'm sorry, I apologize for being over. No, I don't. Verse 11 says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsay of Korah." We went through that, but look at the previous verses of that. In verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the judgment." Some angels, some of these fallen angels are in chains of darkness, not all of them, so they did something. You can go read about it in Genesis chapter 6, okay? Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example again, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. I mean, on and on and on.